AI is taking over the internet. Made up facts, technology thinking for you. Startpage is the private search engine that still finds what you need without the noise. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Austin and Berm Show. I am Jeremy Birmingham. It is Thursday, and that means it is time for Talking Stuff, exclusive to 97.1 The Fan listeners and viewers. I'll be joined once again today by Mick Walker from lettermanrow.com. We're going to talk all things Ohio State football recruiting, including a big decision coming up on Saturday from five-star defensive tackle Jalen Brewster, the country's top-ranked 2027 defensive tackle. We'll also dive into a couple Ohio State commitments who will be visiting another school this weekend and what it could mean. And, of course, taking a look at the Buckeyes visitors for the homecoming primetime game against Minnesota. Let's get to the show right now. Mick Walker joins me now on Talking Stuff. Thanks, Mick, for joining us. How is everything over at lettermanrow.com this week for you?
We're doing great, man. We got actual recruits in the shoe this week, which is what you and I and Alex Clayman really need or really prefer, that we can have good content to come through the coming weeks. And it's nice to have that because we're only going to get one of these opportunities here in this month of October.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird month on that front. But before Saturday's game against Minnesota, Ohio State's homecoming game against Minnesota, where are you going on Friday? Who are you visiting? What recruit are you going to see?
As I told you on Thursday afternoon, I didn't want back-to-back nights of 2 a.m. games, because if I went up to Cleveland to see a guy, that D'Angelo White, who we'll probably talk about later, I'd be getting home at like 1:30 again. So I'm just going to keep it local. We're going to see Ronaldo Perez, who I believe he's going to be at Purdue on Saturday, but still going to get to see him and talk to him about his Texas visit and Larry Johnson and whatnot and all that from the past couple months.
This is certainly not a show where we're going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Ronaldo Perez, a 2027 defensive end from Columbus, Ohio. But, Mick, don't you think it's interesting for a kid like that has an Ohio State offer early? He's already visited Florida multiple times, USC multiple times, Ohio State. He camped five different times in the summer to get his offer. And now here we are in the season, and he hasn't visited the Buckeyes yet, and he's visiting Purdue instead. Like, what's the point?
Well, he did visit for the Texas game, but he has not returned. Like, I think many of us thought he probably would just pop up in multiple games.
Yeah, he lives 4 minutes away, and the alternative is going to watch Purdue.
Well, that's just and it's the same thing like you and I talked about, like guys like Ronaldo or Mason Will. Like, could they come in early, be early members of the class? And I talked to Mike Will, Mason's dad, when I went and saw him earlier in the fall. And Mike's just kind of like, yeah, that crossed our mind, you know, when Tennessee says, do you guys want to make the trip all the way down to Knoxville? But there's also just some of this stuff, like they went to the whiteout game, Mason Will and his family did. There's some of that stuff that when you get invited as a teenager and as a family, that is, whether you're from small town like St. Clairsville, I believe Ronaldo has some different like heritage, that he's not always traditionally just been a Central Ohio guy. So there's some of that stuff that you're only going to get to experience once. So I can understand that.
I get going to Penn State to watch Penn State and Oregon in a whiteout. Like, I get that. Going to West Lafayette to watch Purdue in Illinois when you could go to the Ohio State primetime game at home. That is different, right? Like, that's a different vibe, but whatever. Hey, you're right about the opportunity to experience things and see the world. I guess that is enough. Ronaldo Perez is one of those players Ohio State likes. They offered him, and I just think it's weird sometimes when kids from Ohio. But I guess that's like the young Buckeye fan in me growing up and saying, why would you keep doing this? Like, Ohio State wants you to play there. Why not just go? But whatever. Hey, that's not my job to tell people what to do, right? It's my job to tell people what to think. And I think people should think about Jalen Brewster, the number one ranked defensive tackle in the country in the class of 2027, Cedar Hill, Texas, making a college decision on Saturday. Today, Thursday, October 2nd, apparently is his birthday. So I'm sure Jalen won't watch this, but if he does, happy birthday, Jalen. Welcome to 17 years old. Hopefully it's a great day for you. Saturday is certainly going to be a great day for someone when he commits. Now, this is where things get interesting, because the decision to make a college announcement on October 4th is a relatively new one. That was news broken by Hayes Fawcett of On3Sports and Rivals.com in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks. The minute that Jalen Brewster's commitment was announced, the RPMs, the recruiting prediction machine, fired up, and it was all slanted towards Texas Tech. Here we are 48 hours away or so from his announcement. Nothing has changed on that front. And so all the predictions are still in Texas Tech's favor. But Mick, on Tuesday, of this week, Steve Wiltfong, the national recruiting director for Rivals, made sure that people knew that there were other teams still involved. And one of those teams is Ohio State. It's not a surprise that Ohio State is being discussed because, again, he camped at Ohio State this summer. He has a good relationship developed with Larry Johnson. His father is from Cincinnati. Mother's from Indianapolis, Midwest roots. But nobody really takes Ohio State seriously when it comes down to a recruitment that they know is going to be a big dollar recruitment. Steve Wiltfong's reporting on this on Tuesday with direct quotes from the agent of Jalen Brewster basically said Ohio State is very much involved and they are one of the teams that he's talking to the most. I talked to a few different people on Tuesday, not from the Ohio State side of things. And the response was that the number that they were hearing Ohio State was willing to go to was a surprise for people. Like they didn't think Ohio State was willing to play that aggressively. Now, will that matter on Saturday? I don't know. I mean, maybe not, probably not, because I still think Texas Tech is the team to beat because I don't think they have a limit of how high they're going to go, and Ohio State certainly does. But, Mick, what is just the fact that Ohio State is a real participant in this conversation with 48 hours to go telling you?
Truthfully, I mean, it's about as big of a stunner as it can get for a 2027 prospect like a year away from they sign. Because like you said, this was kind of a thing that just popped up. And I think when Jalen Brewster announced that he was going to decide on October 4th, you and I, or even Alex Steidman or the whole Letterman Lounge, was just kind of like, oh, cool. Like, that'll happen. I don't think it'll be Ohio State. At that time, like you said, Texas Tech kind of always seemed like they were going to be in it. Oregon seemed like they were going to be in mid contention. And then all of a sudden, Steve pops on into the Letterman Lounge on Tuesday and says, hey, I think you guys are in the top group. So then automatically, like you said, you start talking to some people outside of Ohio State. I reach into some people that are inside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. I'm like, do you guys see this? Like, he's saying you guys are like top two or three, like in that top group. And I was told pretty explicitly, like, we feel like we're number one after the last discussion we had on Monday night. And obviously, again, that's on Monday night. He's not committing until Saturday. I don't, like, you've reported multiple times, I don't think he's making a decision until today or tomorrow. So there's plenty of time to go. But there was confidence that they led for him after Monday night. And the other thing that I wanted to figure out pretty plainly, because I feel like when we know this, we know that Ohio State's going to be willing to commit a lot of money to it. And I was told that they view him as a first-round pick, which is not super, like, stunning of a discovery, but still it reaffirms that Ohio State, yeah, the numbers that they're trying to throw out here, it's understandable why they're doing that.
Yeah, and let's be clear, there's a difference even in many ways between a guy who Ohio State views as a early contributor and a first-round pick and a guy who they view in the mold of Jeremiah Smith or Devin Sanchez, and that's where Jalen Brewster is. He's that type of prospect, 6'3", 300 pounds, just an absolute game record defensive tackle, probably the best defensive tackle in the country, regardless of class this season in high school, and a player that's a difference maker, a guy that Ohio State, when he camped this summer, the immediate conversation from the Buckeyes' perspective was, can we convince him to reclassify? Which is not something the Buckeyes traditionally want to have happen. They generally push back on that idea when players or their parents throw it out there. And so the fact that the Buckeyes were the one driving that chain is an indicator that they felt like this guy is just way too good to let go. And ultimately, again, it may not matter. And I know people are going to hear this and be like, well, who cares then? What's the point? And the point is, when Ohio State sees a player like this, the Buckeyes are going to go aggressive. And there's a conversation to be had in here somewhere, Mick. And hypothetically, I don't have the exact number that Ohio State is offering Jalen Brewster. I certainly don't know the number that Florida State or Texas Tech or Oregon or Texas A&M or anybody else is. But let's just round out. Let's put a nice even number. Let's say it's $3 million, right? And that's where Ohio State is willing to go. That's the limit. And Texas Tech is saying, hey, you know what? We'll give you $4.5 million. So no big deal. And maybe that's enough to draw him to Texas Tech, regardless of everything else that Ohio State has to offer. But even if that overage, let's say that extra amount was $500,000 and Texas Tech said, you know what, we're willing to give you $3.5 million. At some point, you have to draw a line if you're Ohio State, right? Like, you have to say, this is as far as we are willing to go because it's untenable otherwise. And that's not even about culture. It's not even about the rest of the roster or how you sell this to Edric Houston, who's returning next year, or anybody else, right? It is simply about, if you don't have a limit somewhere, then eventually you will lose control of the entire budgeting process. And the Buckeyes do not have a billionaire like Cody Campbell behind them who is just bankrolling the entire team. So this is a university-wide, program-wide commitment to trying to make sure that these funds are available. And again, Ryan Day talked this summer about how, you know, they will never want to make a deal that they can't live up to. And so Ohio State being very aggressive, I heard the same thing you did on Tuesday, that, you know, this was a team that felt like they were maybe the team to beat. And so you look at that and you hear it and you go, man, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty interesting. But then we also have to realistically go back in time to the middle of June and see when the night before Luke Wafel made his decision, the Buckeyes were clear-cut winners. Alex Gleitman over at LettermanRow.com said he had a quote ready with a story ready with quotes from Luke Wafel about committing to Ohio State. Like, things can change in the blink of an eye. And so it's hard not to be skeptical or cynical about the fact that maybe this report comes out from his agent on Tuesday in an effort to see how much higher they can get Texas Tech to go or Oregon to go. And so, like, you want to view this appropriately, which is to say, it's encouraging Ohio State sees a guy like this and is willing to expand their own limits and push their own limits. But then you can also still not win the recruitment come Saturday. And so then it becomes moot. But, like, it does have relevance, and it does have the ability to impact how Ohio State should be viewed in the next cycle when it comes to recruiting anyway. So it's just an interesting way to start this show, because I still believe, as we record this, it's Thursday. It's 2:30 on Thursday. I think it's probably going to be Texas Tech, but if Ohio State, with everything else the Buckeyes have to offer, can be that competitive, can be that close, they're going to win a lot of these battles. You know, this one might be different just because Joey McGuire, the head coach at Texas Tech, obviously is a former Cedar Hill head coach. They got a ton of connections there with the Texas Tech program. And then you add in the fact that they spent a ton of money this offseason in the transfer portal. They're pushing their way into being one of the top 10 programs in the country in this 2025 season. So there's a lot of, like, perfect storm elements happening for Texas Tech to win this recruitment like outright, even if there wasn't an NIL opportunity here for Ohio State. But the Buckeyes are certainly making their impact known and making their presence known. And that's encouraging moving forward.
100%. I mean, to play devil's advocate, obviously, Texas Tech, they got Felix Ojo this summer. Like, they're training for other top 2027 guys. They already have LaDainian Guyton, who's, like, the number one defensive, like, the defensive end prospect in the 2027 class, committed from Savannah, Georgia. He's going all the way out to Lubbock, Texas. Surprisingly, he's also got an NIL deal with Adidas. That's shocking to me, but at this time period. But the more fascinating thing is they had a guy by the name of Cooper Hackett, who's from a small, like, an area in Oklahoma, committed, five-star offensive tackle. He committed there a couple weeks ago, maybe last month, and then last weekend or 2 weekends ago, he automatically just flips back to, like, he flips to Oklahoma, the in-state school, and it's been reported, and it's obvious at this point, he had to have turned down major money to flip to the Sooners. And because when you look at it, like, whether Jalen Brewster goes to Columbus or he goes to Lubbock, both of those are a flight. One of them is staying in-state, but both of those are a flight. Like, you still have to do it, and like you said, you have ties to Cincinnati, you still have ties to Indianapolis, so we're not talking, like, maybe he did grow up there, and I think he spent a lot of his life there, but I don't think we're talking about somebody that, like, Joey McGuire, like, knew from, like, a child. He was a ball boy at Cedar Hill. Like, there's different factors in here, and again, it's still, you got to go all the way out to Lubbock, Texas. Obviously, Larry Johnson's different than whoever the Texas Tech defensive line coach, I think, perception-wise. Ryan Day is now a national championship-winning head coach. Ohio State's number one in the country. Like, they clearly have points to sell that Texas Tech can't, but again, if you're $1 million short, as we've seen, I don't know how much that always makes a difference that you can sell cool things or sell actual tangible things.
Zarnell Fitch. That's the name of the Texas Tech defensive line coach. No one has heard of him. Certainly Larry Johnson has been heard of, but Zarnell Fitch may end up with LaDainian Guyton and Jalen Brewster to coach in 2027. So he's certainly a guy that's going to have a chance to put his name into the public discourse. Zarnell Fitch. That's a fun name. Zarnell Fitch. Anyway, so here we go. There's 48 hours left or so. This announcement should happen probably around the end of the first quarter on Saturday night when Ohio State is hosting Minnesota. The bottom line is that we believe Ohio State's in it, still probably lean towards Texas Tech, but we've seen in the recruiting world this year, those last 24-hour conversations can be game changers. Speaking of game changers, there are two Ohio State commitments, ostensibly commitments, heading to Tallahassee, Florida this weekend to visit Florida State as they play the Miami Hurricanes in a pretty big Florida game. Both of these players, Corbin Fordham and Aaron Thomas, are Florida State legacies, both committed to Ohio State. I'm speaking for Mick and myself here. We both believe that Corbin Fordham flipping to Florida State is a foregone conclusion at this point. We expect that it will probably happen Saturday or Sunday. We'll see the exact timeline of that, but this reading the tea leaves, that's how it seems. And then now that one's sort of been percolating for the last 5 weeks or 5 days or so. And now on Thursday morning, the conversation around Aaron Thomas showing up at Florida State is out there. And that one, I think, is probably going to be a little bit more interesting for Ohio State fans because he seems like he'd be harder to replace if he were to flip to Florida State. Mick, conversations that I've had with people since hearing that Aaron is going to Florida State this weekend have been interesting, to say the least. We'll talk about it momentarily. But let's first talk about Corbin Fordham. Again, he's been committed to Ohio State since last November, a player that the Buckeyes took a verbal pledge from early because there was not a lot of discussion at all about NIL or anything else. It just seemed like Corbin Fordham and his family really wanted him in Columbus. And now with 2 months to go before signing day, the conversation is changing. Florida State offering, from what I've been told, upwards of $400,000, which is a pretty good amount of money for a guy that wasn't asking for any. But Corbin Fordham is a player that is not exactly ranked in a way that would make you believe he should be paid that much money. He is the country's number 34 ranked tight end in the Rivals industry ranking, number 549 overall prospect. Rivals itself has him as the number 178 prospect in the state of Florida. He's a three-star tight end prospect who's 6'3" and about 210 pounds. And at the absolute risk of sounding like I'm dismissing the recruitment of Corbin Fordham and how long Ohio State's been involved here, I feel like you can get any number of players inside of the state of Ohio that are equal to what Corbin Fordham is as a prospect. Now, the question is, are you willing to pay for them? Because the guys that you can get inside the state of Ohio, guys like Preston Frizell at Toledo Central Catholic, guys like Nick Lauder at Lebanon down in Cincinnati, guys like, you know, even Braden Fogle at Lexington, who's committed to Georgia. Like, these are different players, but they're not going to Notre Dame and Louisville and Georgia for nothing. So now, like, you maybe looked at the tight end recruiting and thought, hey, we can skate through this cycle without having to really pay for one. Now you're probably going to have to pay for one. And if you're going to pay for one, doesn't it make more sense to pay for one that's a higher upside like Max Sutter and really try to put the money in there, the Alabama commitment? Or does it, or do you just say, well, we'll just see if we can get Nick Lauder to do this for cheap?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of different things to unpack there. First and foremost, like, I've gotten to know Corbin, his father, Todd, who obviously played at Florida State. I don't know if you mentioned that earlier. You probably did. So, like, I've gotten to know them very well. I think they're great people, but it's always been kind of interesting. It's always been something I've kept in the back of my head. I caught up with Corbin after his official visit in June, and I was like, hey, what did you guys get to talk about? How was your meeting with Coach Day? And, like, a lot of those, obviously, he's a committed guy, so some of those conversations are different than uncommitted guys. Like, they're not trying to pitch him as much. But he really focused on the fact that Coach Day told him what he needed to work on, like, how he needed to improve. And just typically, that's not the, like, tone of the or the tenor of the conversation in June. And I think he's always been a guy that they've known, like, he needs to make sure he's being pushed, or, like, we need to continue to see development from him. Because really, tight end, and as I talked about with somebody at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on Wednesday night, like, tight end's a position that is just hard to evaluate in high school. Because a lot of these guys are, like, Preston Frizell, I was even told that name came up on Wednesday, and it was like, yeah, he's a great player, but he's split out most of the time. Like, you can't really evaluate whether you can bring him into the box and he can block Colin Simmons on a pivotal pass play in a season opener against Texas. Like, Will Kazmarek can do that, but you had college film on him. So you don't know if a guy that's been primarily blocking on the, like, running routes on the outside can do that. Same thing with Nick Lauder. Like, he's a wrestler. He's a little bit more of a compact guy, but still, when it came down to it, he played a lot of outside against Anderson, who is Lebanon's biggest opponent, could win the Division II state title in Ohio. So I think both those guys, like you said, are still evaluating. You still look at them, but there's still more that I think Ohio State wants to see from both those guys. And then you go, if you still need to see more, then why don't you just get the guy that you feel like you've seen enough from, which is Max Sutter. And that's where it gets even more fascinating, because you told me pretty plainly on Tuesday afternoon, you said, I've heard the prices continue to go up there. And I like that. That's what you were told. And then I checked with somebody about whether it was Lauder or Friesel, if anybody was going to visit on for the Saturday. I checked with that on Wednesday. And I was told, no, none of those tight ends are going to visit, but we feel like we're going to get Max Sutter. And that's a complete deflection for like complete opposite of what you told me on Wednesday or Tuesday. So that's just fascinating to me. I don't really know where it goes from this point.
Well, Greg Smith from Rivals.com, who's a Midwest recruiting analyst, he's one of the guys that has been tight and tied in with the Sutter family and Mac himself. He's one of the guys that 2 weeks ago, when we started talking about Sutter on this show, it came out and said, hey, there's a real conversation here happening between Ohio State and Sutter. It was, I think, Monday of this week that he reported that he feels pretty confident that he'll stick with Alabama. We'll see. As I said, I was told that the bottom dollar amount that is required to bring in someone like Max Sutter, the four-star from Illinois, has gone up in the last 2 weeks, which makes me believe that Alabama has just decided to sweeten the pot a little bit. We'll see if that matters. Again, it's fascinating because, as you mentioned, like the tight end position is one that is so hard to evaluate. It's one that's so hard to develop, but it's not even just Braden Fogle in Ohio or Preston Friesel in Ohio or Nick Lauder in Ohio. You have guys like Landon Myrie down in Cincinnati, committed to Arizona State. Landon Myrie is 6'4", 230-plus pounds, is probably a more ready-to-go physical college-level tight end than Corbin Fordham or Preston Friesel or Nick Lauder or Braden Fogle, who has shown some inconsistency on the football field. So, like, there's a ton of options out there. Cincinnati also has guys. Moeller has a couple players committed around the country. Like, there's a lot of good players at tight end in the Buckeyes home state and in the Buckeyes roster, which is the other thing, because we've watched Max Clair through the first four games from Ohio State. I think he's got six catches on the season. And he has eligibility left. And so if you're Ohio State and you have to spend $500,000 extra dollars to get a tight end, does it not make sense to just see if you can get Max Clair to stick around for another year? And then you can really dial in and dive into the 2027 cycle, which we'll talk about at the end of this show of talking stuff, because there's a lot of really good players at tight end in that cycle who are interested in what the Buckeyes are doing as well. So my alert level for Corbin Fordham is through the roof. He is going to flip to Florida State at some point. We feel pretty confident about that. And then there's Aaron Thomas.
Which is probably even more fascinating, because in August, when this initially got reported, like, hey, he's going to visit for the Miami game, or he might have mentioned it. I think he mentioned to Matt Lasser over at our Florida State site, the War Channel on Rivals.com. He was like, I'm going to visit for the Miami game. And he immediately kind of came out and was like, no, I got taken out of context. I don't know. And again, to peel back the curtain a little bit, it's all fascinating because it could or could not happen. Right now, it seems like Aaron Thomas is going to be in Tallahassee, but they could make a decision, like coming from the West Coast, they could decide, or Ryan Day could get on the phone with him, or Tyler Blount could get on the phone, they could change it all. But like, as far as it goes on Thursday, which it happens at other schools, doesn't happen at Ohio State for anybody. Like, on Thursday morning, there's people in the recruiting department in Tallahassee that just send a list to Matt Lasser or the other people that cover Florida State, and they run with the list, because obviously that came from a well-sourced person in the building, and Aaron Thomas gets on that list. And just because somebody's on that list, you and I have had guys on a list before, and all of a sudden that guy doesn't visit. So I'm still fascinated on whether or not this happens and fascinated on what you've heard about.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect that it will happen. I think that in some ways the discussion gets distorted, because when this was initially reported in August, it would have been, I think, probably a safer, smarter play to just say, yeah, I might go to that game. It's my father's alma mater. It's a huge game. We're going to be going back there. I'll probably be there. And then to then dismiss any relevancy about it and say, hey, but that doesn't mean anything. When you come out and you say, hey, I'm not going, I was taken out of context, it's misquoted, and then you show up anyway, then it starts to feel like you're trying to play some both sides against the middle a little bit. And none of that stuff is actually true. What the reality is that Aaron Thomas, like every other kid in the country, should see as many schools as he wants. Now, as a player who's committed somewhere, should you do that? Probably not. But as long as you're being upfront and honest, I guess that's fair. You're giving at least the team you're committed to a chance to take action. And whether that is, trying to convince you not to visit, or telling you it's fine, or telling you, hey, if you visit elsewhere, we're also taking other visits. We've already seen Ohio State with four offensive line commitments looking to expand that board. Obviously, Tyler Bowen was out to visit Adam Guthrie last week. There's still plenty of ongoing conversation with Landry Breed, the North Carolina State commit. Ohio State offered Jared Doughty, the 2026 offensive lineman from Atlanta, earlier this or last week. He's going to visit for the Penn State game. I'm just going to say it now. I believe Aaron Thomas will end up outside of Ohio State's recruiting class. That's just what I'm going to say. Whether that's tied to Adam Guthrie, whether that's tied to Jared Doughty, whether it's tied to Landry Breed, whether it's tied to any other offensive lineman that may show up at Ohio State in the next couple of weeks, that's not my business. What I'm saying is what I've heard is that there's an expectation that there could be a flip there as well, which is the only reason why I want to bring it up, because I normally don't spend time talking about players visiting other schools, because it is just the nature of the beast now in the year 2025. But the conversation around Aaron Thomas seems like it's changing. And so I think it's kind of our job to put that on people's radar. We'll see exactly what that means moving forward, but that is what it is. The Buckeyes at this point do not have any 2026 offensive linemen that we are allowed to talk about visiting this weekend for the Minnesota game. But we've heard that maybe there could be something in the works on that track, and that could also be doubled because there's still conversation potentially about Landry Breed. Mick and I are going to dive into the Minnesota visitors list, and I'm going to feel bad when I do this to you, America, because I don't like it. But there are things we can't say because that's just the way this business is. As Mick mentioned, there's a lot of schools around the country that send the visitors list to the media who covers their recruiting efforts. Ohio State is not that team. So I want to be very clear about that. Anybody that is visiting Ohio State that we have to discover them visiting, that is legwork that we have to do. That is whether that's talking to people in a building, whether that's asking the properly worded question, whether that's making sure that you don't leave any wiggle room for a lie by omission or whatever. That's fine. Like I've worked with the Ohio State recruiting staff for 14 years now. And you would think, because a lot of people believe that they just tell us everything whenever they want, you know, that's not the case. We have to work pretty hard to get this information. But the way we keep getting information, Mick, is by not saying the things that we're not supposed to say. So as we turn over the video to the visitors list for the weekend, which again will not be all encompassing, it's not going to be everybody that's coming to town, but these are the biggest names that we're excited to get eyes on and then hopefully talk to after the weekend is over. There are two official visitors that have been made public that we know about that have confirmed it with us directly. That is Kamari Bing, the Maryland safety commitment, and Jacob Curry, the linebacker from Nice High School in Florida, former Northwestern commit who visited Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. And there are two other official visitors that we are not going to tell you who they are, and that makes me feel bad. But the reason we are told things is because we know what we're not allowed to say. And it's hard, Mick. Sometimes it's hard.
It's very hard. Immunity there, to steal a line from our friend Josh Pate over at Rivals and on Rivals.com and On3. But yeah, so we know two of them. You and I were told, I think you and I were both told Monday-ish, there's two, but we can tell you two, but there's more that are going to be coming. We've since been able to kind of find a scent or find a trail on who the other two are. And like you said, we just can't really say anything. I don't even, like, Berm, full transparency, Berm has more cachet, and he speaks a little more freely than I do. I'll let him tease whatever he wants to tease on there, because I think he knows more of his bandwidth on that. But if we're just going to stick on Bing and Curry, I think Bing, starting with him, he's a guy that I've heard, I spoke with somebody on Wednesday, that Ohio State really likes him. They think he's a good free safety. And I think that's one, considering he's committed to Maryland, considering his ranking, like they want to get done like relatively soon, like after, whether it's this weekend or like in the coming week, like, because they understand it just be good to fill that safety spot. And I was told pretty explicitly, specifically on Wednesday, that Simeon Caldwell, who we've kind of pegged as a linebacker, is still trending to start as a safety at Ohio State. So Ohio State will sign 3-ish safeties in this class if you can get Bing into the fold. And then Curry, Ohio State wants a third linebacker. I saw Jaden Williams last week, and I thought he looked good. I think there's still some things you need to work on. So obviously that's why you bring a guy like Jacob Curry on, who's now a Rivals 300 prospect. He's being recruited by SEC programs. Like, he is a guy that James Laurinaitis went and saw. So there's obviously some, like, a high level interest there. And then you get him on campus for this night game and you get him in the shoe and see what you can kind of do there. I think Oklahoma is the leader, but I have seen nothing or heard nothing to believe that Ohio State can't change that.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as Jacob Curry returned from Norman after his official visit there, there were predictions put in for him to end up at Oklahoma. A lot of people assumed when that occurred that he would not visit Ohio State and that his commitment would be wrapped up quickly. That has not been the case. Ohio State was told that night he still intends to visit, and that weekend is now upon us. Kamari Bing, I completely agree that he's a guy that you think maybe, hey, you can get this done. But, you know, again, when we're in this NIL era now, it is harder to flip guys from schools like Maryland than it used to be, because that is a three-star player from Maryland that has been committed to the Terrapins for over a year. There's got to be a reason that they went in on him so early. There's got to be a reason Ohio State and Alabama are hosting him this month. He has an upside that has caught some attention, and so now we'll see how Maryland and the Under Armour people play that one. But Dre Quinn also visiting this weekend. That is an unofficial visit. Former Clemson defensive end from Atlanta, Georgia, at Buford High School, a player that Ohio State is very confident that he fits the culture, that he fits the program. This is a big first visit for Dre Quinn to Columbus. Mick, what do you think about that fit?
Yeah, I've told you a couple times here recently. Worm wasn't with us at this point, but if you guys have been over on Letterman Road, you know when we were down in Atlanta for the national championship, I kind of hit the road a little bit. I saw at that time Tyler Atkinson, who obviously is now committed to Texas. You saw Bryce Perry Wright, who's committed to Texas A&M. Like, I saw a handful of, at that time, Ohio State targets that were in the Atlanta area. And I had actually seen Dre Quinn, who Ohio State offered, I believe, 24 or 48 hours earlier. It was kind of a last-minute thing, and I just said, hey, can I stop by? I got to talk to him, and you immediately talk to him, and you figure out he's an Ohio State type of kid, whether it's personality, like just the fit, the focus on academics, and the like making sure you develop as a person off the field. Like, he checks all those boxes for Ohio State, and I've told you multiple times, like, if they were able to get him on campus, and they are going to get him on campus this weekend, they can make a move very quickly because he's going to fit what not only what Ohio State wants, but what Larry Johnson wants. So I'm fascinated to hear how this kind of goes after the weekend. Because he could, if you could get him and you continue to make sure, like Ross York continues to tell you that you have money to spend on higher ranked defensive ends, maybe like a Luke Waifel. If you could get both those guys to pair with Kari Wilder, who will also be on campus this weekend, which is probably one of the top five most important visitors as well, like that, now you're looking at a really good defensive end class, which is what they need.
Yeah, we expect a host of Ohio State commitments will be in town, but Kari Wilder being there and being one of them is pretty relevant when it comes to the recruitment of Dre Quinn. Texas is the team that finished as the runner-up in most people's minds when he committed to Clemson this summer, and that's why Texas received RPM prediction from Steve Wiltfong the night that he decommitted from Clemson. But again, similar to Jacob Curry, the conversation immediately from the Ohio State side was, yeah, he's still visiting. They're not worried about a quick commit. You know, and it would make not a lot of sense for a guy that reopened his recruitment in order to see places to then commit somewhere else without seeing places. So Ohio State's been a place that he's wanted to see for the last 9 months, 10 months since he received that offer back in January. And now he's going to get that opportunity. The Buckeyes will also host it, and you can see it on the screen here if you're watching on YouTube, a number of 2027 prospects that have caught our attention and have caught Ohio State's attention. I don't want to spend the show talking about every player individually. One of those will be Angelo Smith, the recent Buckeyes commitment, and defensive back Jeremiah Smith's younger brother. The two that are really catching my eye are Quay Ford, the offensive lineman from Texas, and Jace Brewer, the defensive lineman from Indiana, who was offered by the Buckeyes last month. Mick, I know you're a big fan of both of those guys. Why do you think Quay Ford is someone Ohio State fans should really pay attention to?
Because, I mean, scheduling a visit out of state all the way from, like, he's in the eastern part of Texas, so he's not really like a Dallas area guy, so you got to go a ways to get to the airport. Like, then you got to fly to Columbus. He was supposed to come up for the Texas game. That visit fell through. So for him to find another game where he can come up this quickly is notable, I think. Obviously, Charlie Dickey, who spent a lot of time in Oklahoma State, who's the assistant offensive line coach now, I think he knows that area well. He's kind of got the foot in the door. And then if you give Tyler Bowen an inch or you give him a foot in the door, he's going to be able to just kind of run that thing wide open and see where you can get him. And then Jace Brewer is another one. Like, I think he fits along those, like, same vibes of Dre Quinn. Like, he's gonna get along really well with Larry Johnson, the program, the style. Like, he's not a super like yeller or like very like outward extroverted guy, but he's still a very talented football player. And the other, like, if I was to add a third guy, I think we haven't added him onto the list yet, but Josiah Buchanan, the defensive lineman, he's a 4-star defensive lineman from Maryland. Ohio State offered, and I think they offered in August or September, and the day after he posted he was going to come up for this game before the kickoff time was known or anything. So obviously we know Larry Johnson. We've talked plenty about defensive line recruitment. We know what Larry Johnson's into and like what he's able to do in the DMV area. So that's one that I think we kind of got to take note of.
Yeah, Brewer, obviously being in the traditional Ohio State recruiting footprint, the 3-hour radius of Columbus, that makes a big difference. It is so hard to spend a lot of time focused on 2027 defensive lineman right now. And I know that seems counterintuitive considering we started the show talking about Jalen Brewer, because there is the same speculation that's happened for the last 10 years about Larry Johnson and his future. And is he even going to be there in 2027? Because that's 2 years from now. So I think a lot of these conversations, like, you have to wade carefully and be like, well, they like Ohio State, but how does this change if a guy like Jace Brewer in Indiana prospect who you look at and you say, hey, this is a guy that no matter who's the defensive line coach, you figure that they're going to be involved in that conversation. We'll see how that changes for anyone else. But another Indiana prospect that I'll just bring up because he's on my list here is Austin Young, the linebacker, 2029. I think that's actually really interesting because the Buckeyes don't get involved with freshmen that regularly, but there's some really positive buzz going around Austin, that young
Austin
player.
Austin Phillips, so. Berm, yeah. I was
Austin Phillips, I'm sorry. Yeah, Austin Phillips. I looks like I messed up my graphic, but he's a player that Ohio State coaches were pretty excited was coming to town this week because they want to get their first eyes on him. And he's a big time developing 2029 prospect.
Yeah. And I think he came to camp at Ohio State this summer. He's got a decent little track background. Like he's track background. He's a good athlete. And we talk about him a lot with wide receivers, but he trains with Traction AP, which is where who's owned by Dre Muhammad. He's trained Mylon Graham. He's trained Jaquaden Guilford. Like, all those guys in that Fort Wayne area really know each other well. And it's kind of through Dre. He's another guy that works with their 7-on-7 program. So I think that's a good call out. And then the other guy kind of right two spots above him there, Raylan Henry, I believe. There was a mix-up. I think I typed the names out wrong on the board. But Raylan Henry, the defensive back from also St. Francis.
Oh, look, no, that's just me. I just left them all youngs. Youngs. Raylan Henry, yes.
He's a guy that I think Ohio State fans will hear probably more about in the coming months. I saw him a year ago in a season opener when they played Pittsburgh Central Catholic around the area. He told me at that time, it was a couple months after he earned the offer, that Ohio State was his number one school. I think that's my first RPM arrivals ever, was putting in a prediction for him to end up at Ohio State. This will be his first visit back since that trip. And I was told of just inside the little inside baseball here, I always like to plan a trip to go see guys during the off week. And I was trying to figure out whether I want to go to North Carolina or go to the DMV to see guys like Buchanan and Bing and Henry. And I was told pretty explicitly that the guys at St. Francis Academy, Bing and Henry, are the guys that Ohio State's really a big fan of. So I think that's somebody that, whether you're a fan of defensive back recruiting, Tim Wall, and cornerback recruiting, Raylan Henry's somebody to pay attention to.
Which is interesting because that high school is St. Francis Academy there in Baltimore. One of the more talented programs in the country. It was basically created by Viv Poggi, who is the associate head coach, whatever, is the interim head coach at Michigan whenever their head coaches are suspended. And that's his program. And the Buckeyes, if you recall, in the class of 2025, had Blake Woodby, the defensive back, committed for a minute. There's been no shortage of bad blood, or maybe that's the wrong term. Maybe that's a little strong, but that program has not been entirely thrilled with Ohio State because of Blake Woodby's recruitment and how that transpired and him ending up elsewhere. So it requires Matt Guerrieri, who's going after Kamari Bing and Raylan Henry, to really mend some fences, which it seems like he's doing since those guys are on campus this weekend. So interesting times, Nickelodeon. Interesting times. Let's
there could be more, like St. Francis Academy, whenever they come, where it typically travels in a pack. So
yeah,
there could be more guys from 27 or 28. I don't know if there's new offers, but at least guys that they'll be getting on campus. Because if you look up, if you go to Rivals and you click on Raylan Henry's page and you say, let me see the top guys ranked in Maryland, like four or five of them are from St. Francis Academy alone.
Yeah, and that's fairly standard in the DMV because that program does whatever it wants and has a ton of talent in it. So Henry is the number 9 ranked player in the country in the class of 2027, the number 9 ranked corner in the class of 2027, according to the Rivals Industry Composite. Ohio State wants tight ends in the class of 2027. We know that. We talked about what could happen in 2026, but as we have been doing on Talking Stuff over the last few weeks, we're going to break down the big board for the Buckeyes in position by position. This week, it is tight end. There's no secret. Brock Williams is the top of the board. That's why, as you can see again on the screen, Brock and Roll. Hilarious. What a tremendous play on words. I'm so, so clever. Here's the deal. Keenan Bailey needs to be clever from here, okay? Because the Corbin Fordham conversation changes things in 26. And if you change things in 26, it can change things in 27. If you have to keep Max Clair, it changes things in 26. If you try to, prevent anybody else from leaving the program, this is the new world of college sports where attrition happens whether you like it or not. And you're already going to lose Will Kaczmarek and you think you're going to lose Max Clair. It seems likely that a guy like Max LeBlanc, we've talked about him before, like may end up moving on from the program just because he's heading into year 4 next year and won't have ever sniffed the field. You've got Nate Roberts getting a lot of playing time. You got Jelani Thurman starting to evolve and develop. You got Bennett Christian, who's got another year. So there's all these moving parts. But the one thing that hasn't changed in the last 6 months at tight end for Ohio State in the class of 2027, no matter how many other guys they've offered, which is now 12, is that Illinois standout Brock Williams is unequivocally the clear-cut number one target for Ohio State at tight end in the class of 2027. And that doesn't change no matter how good D'Angelo White at Villa-Angelo St. Joseph is in Cleveland. It doesn't matter how tight the relationship is that Ryan Day has with Jordan Carhoff, who plays tight end at St. Francis de Sales in Columbus, where his quarterback is a young man named RJ Day. It doesn't matter. Brock Williams is player number one on the list.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting with Brock because if we go back last week when we talked about coaches on the road, I think almost everybody went out and saw, like, maybe you checked in on a 2027, but if you were at a game on Friday, you were seeing a commit or you were seeing a 2026 guy, like you were seeing immediate targets. But Keenan Bailey went out and saw Max Sutter on Monday, went out on Friday and made sure to go see Brock Williams. I think he was one of the only 2027 guys they saw on Friday night. So just that interest alone, the communication, I went up and saw him, like I said, during the off week. I mean, Keenan Bailey's talking to Brock every day. He's talking to both his parents every day. He's talking to his twin brother, Reed. He's talking to his older brother, who's just a student at Kentucky. Like, they got all five of that. The whole family came down for the Texas game. And I think majority of them probably could come down for the Penn State game later on as well. That one might be more Keenan Bailey has to get a hold of Brady Edmonds and tell him he needs to come to the Penn State game. Because if Brady comes, those two have kind of formed a close friendship as well. And so if Brady comes down for that game or flies down for that game, it could be a quick trip for Brady, but I still think that would kind of convince Brock to make the trip down as well. And then, like you said, behind him, you got a ton of guys that I think Ohio State, if they said you just got to get one of these guys behind him, they'd probably take any mixture of them, whether it's D'Angelo White, who I was going to go see on Friday, but changed plans. Like, he kind of is like a Jelani Thurman type where he's built like maybe another offensive tackle. Jordan Carhoff, like you said, is fascinating because St. Francis de Sales has this really cool offseason offensive analyst that comes in called Ryan Day. He's the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, but just in the offseason when he can't go on the road, he helps the Stallions tune up their offense. So he's drawn up a couple plays for Jordan Carhoff. JT Gerassi, who we talked about before the Grambling game, like he's another one of these guys. Like, I think he's a little bit better where Corbin Fordham was, like, in that same age when we saw him at camp, but he's somebody that you've seen time after time, whether it's like maybe in a Max LeBlanc style or something. He's just one of these guys that 3 or 4 years later, Bennett Christian, he could be a blocker and be a talented player. And then beyond that, it's really, I think this whole group is kind of mixed. Zach Fry is somebody that you probably like a lot because he's from Toledo. And then the rest of the list, there's just a handful of talented players that I've visited.
Yeah, Zach Fares is interesting. He's one of them that you like. He was in Columbus this summer. As you mentioned, he's from Toledo, should be playing at Toledo Whitmer if his family hadn't moved. But Ohio State has not really pushed for anybody else on this list other than these top three, because all the attention is on Brock Williams and the Ohio kids. And so if you're asking me, like, how would I attack this? I would do anything I had to do to make sure that the top two names on this list end up at Ohio State. That's what I would do.
I think that's
Brock Williams and D'Angelo White.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do that early with Brock as well. Like, Brock is adamant with me. I think you even had conversations with him. Right? He's like, I want to commit early. Like, and this is not a thing of like, I want to commit early and drive up the NIL. I don't think Brock really cares. He's truly like just an Illinois guy that like we talked about last week, he dropped a couple of cuss words in the story. Like, he's just a Midwestern kid that wants to go to a place that he's going to develop as a tight end. I think he truly believes that Keenan Bailey's going to do that. And that's where it comes down to, like you said, I have a hard time viewing Ohio State like saying we're going to drop $1 million on a high school tight end. But I think between Keenan Bailey's relationship building and the willingness to like let Keenan Bailey go get his guy in the 2027 class, that's a good mixture for Ohio State to land a guy like Brock Williams.
Yeah, and then as I said, there's D'Angelo White after him, and D'Angelo, I believe from what I saw to D'Angelo White this summer that he might be the best in-state tight end prospect in Ohio. And I couldn't tell you how long, maybe since. I mean, definitely since Jake Hausman in 2016, Luke Farrell was also in that class. Farrell still in the NFL and contributing in the league. There are very few high school athletes that you will see who are put together like D'Angelo White at 6'5", 250 pounds already, able to move, catches the ball with his hands. Big kid. He's like a Darnell Washington. The player you brought up, the Jelani Thurman comparison, is probably the right one at tight end, but he is a much better catcher of the football at that age than Jelani was. And he's at Villangelo St. Joseph. That's the home, the alma mater of Bo Jackson. The Buckeyes have a really good relationship with the head coach up there. I'm surprised in some ways that D'Angelo White is not already committed to Ohio State. I thought that would happen this summer, and the Buckeyes believed it would happen this summer as well. And then the coaching staff at that high school decided, hey, we need to slow things down and let you experience this process. D'Angelo has not been on campus yet this season for Ohio State, which is a little bit of an upset considering what Bo Jackson is doing, considering how close he is to campus, but he hasn't been showing up elsewhere either. So it's just a process where that relationship is still ongoing. And if you look at the 26, and that's why I think it was set up the way it had been set up for so long with Corbin Fordham, it's because you have these 27s and you can, it's easier to tell Brock Williams and D'Angelo White why you need a pair of tight ends in 27 if your 26 is Corbin Fordham. If your 26 is Max Sutter, this conversation changes a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a little bit more difficult to convince them that you need a pair in 2027. So it's going to be a very important couple weeks for Keenan Bailey to figure out what's going on there. We'll see if the Mac Williams, Max Sutter discussion, Mac Williams, Ben Patrick, Greg Nichols, Mac Williams, Brock Sutter, well, they're all combining.
That like that's happening. Even more interesting thing, because I asked Brock during that conversation, is like, are you aware? Because like Georgia's really the other school, and Georgia has three tight ends committed in 2026. Are you aware of this type of stuff? And he's like, it's not really the numbers. It's like, are these players similar to what I am? And I think Max Sutter would fall into that category. And he's also aware, like Keenan Bailey told him, it was like, I am going to be at your game on Friday. And I said, and he was like, but Keenan was in Peoria on Monday. Like, there's a full level of communication. I think they probably know each other a good bit. He's either, Max Sutter has a younger brother named Bo, I believe, Bo Sutter, who's either in Brock's class or one level below him. So, like, I imagine there's some relationships that overlap there, which, again, makes it even more interesting because then you have those conversations. Are they recruiting each other? Are they not talking to each other? I don't know what it all happens there. I just hope that you talk to me after this show because I enjoy talking to you, Berm.
Oh, we'll see. But either way, it does make for some interesting days ahead for Keenan Bailey as he tries to sort that out. Ohio State recruiting does not stop, even when it seems to, even like when they don't have recruitments for months at a time or you don't have a home game for the next month. There's still a lot going on. Plenty of things to continue talking about on Talking Stuff on 97.1 The Fan. For those of you who have made it to the end, congratulations. You don't have to hear me ramble for another, 12 hours or so until the beat hits your feed on Friday morning at 5 a.m. But I always appreciate Mick Walker from LettermanRow.com, a member of the On3 Sports Network, for joining us. Mick, anything else going on over at the Letterman Row site that you want to pitch or talk to people about?
Not much. You can jump over there, join us, $1 for your first 7 days. If you really wanted to, you can come wish Berm a happy belated birthday because he celebrated that on Wednesday. It was a great day.
That's right. We're super old now. Combined, Mick and I are 72. Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for watching, everyone. We really do appreciate you being here and you're constantly supporting what we do here at 97.1 The Fan. This is the Austin and Berm Show, talking stuff. He's Mick Walker. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. Goodbye. We will see you next time. See ya.
Ever look something up online and then see ads for it everywhere? That's not a coincidence. Startpage is the private search engine that finds what you need without anyone finding out you asked. Try startpage.com. That's startpage.com.